God bless you all in the magnificent name of Jesus Christ. Ooh. And thank you, Alan Shati, and Bob and Jeannie, and Barney, and Vicki, and Jan, and each and every member in particular in this wonderful little body of Christ, this little section. So, I was going to play a song, God Bless America. Does everybody know that song? It is.
Yeah.
You do, huh? How does it go? God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. That's enough, you guys, because it's not in my teaching. The ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Well, Father always knows what's best. So, that was fun. Okay, that's a great song. It's actually a prayer, a declaration. Yes?
Yes.
And it was written, it's the second national anthem for the United States of America. And it was written after the Roaring Twenties, during the 30s, and then right after that was World War II. So that's okay. So I did want to share this, okay, you guys, because, man, Jeannie turned me on to this fun little book, Faith to Faith, and it's Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. So 2 days ago, I opened it to September 16th, and it said, Stand Up and Be Counted, and it's 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and presidents, I added that, and for all that are in authority. Why? So that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So let me read a little bit more. This is really cool. We are commanded to pray for our country and our leaders. But having prayed, God expects us to act. The elections in the United States are vital to the future of this nation. Our country is in the midst of a spiritual outpouring. Woo, woo, we all love that. And it's vitally important that the right people be elected. We must see to it. Don't wait until the elections time is upon us before you start seeking God for whom to vote. Begin to pray now, so that the news media and other voices from every corner cannot influence you and will not draw you in a direction away from the Spirit of God. Ooh, pray so that you won't be influenced by natural reactions and natural responses to cleverly designed commercials and ideas. Start praying now about the coming elections, whether they are small local elections or major national elections. Make them a part of every prayer you pray. Then, thank God, the Spirit of God, for His wisdom concerning to whom you should vote. Thank Him for giving you His wisdom about what to say and when to say it to others. Thank Him for giving you wisdom to declare the name of Jesus Christ and declare that this shall be a God-indwelt, God-ordained, God-overseen administration. Excuse me. So, register, pray, vote, then stand up and be counted by the power of the living God. Now, this little book was written in 1992. So, I just thought that was pretty cool. But, okay, guys, I know Father will get us through this because, are you ready for the title of my teaching? Planet Earth, God's country. That's a big subject. Yes. Okay. So you guys can be praying for me as I share God's word, because I get very excited. So be still my heart. Okay, please turn to Psalm 33, and I'm going to be reading from the King James. Oh, Psalm 33. Boy, David, man, he was a man after God's own heart. He was just a very young boy, youth. I don't know exactly how old he was when he was anointed king. He was just a shepherd boy. And then here he is king. And boy, he went through some trials and tribulations and some wars and some battles and some scary, scary stuff. And he wasn't perfect, if you know the little story about Bathsheba. But God works everything out. So in Psalm 33, we're going to go ahead and start in verse 1, because regardless of everything he went through, what did he say in verse 1 of 33? Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely, or fitting. It fits in our mouth. It's comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings, whether you're rocking out or whether you just want peaceful music. Ooh, sing unto him a new song. Ooh, that's fun. But play skillfully and with a loud voice, whether you sound good to yourself or not. God digs it. He loves it. So, verse 4, the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Verse 5, he loveth righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of God. Well, praise God. You look around, and we've got everything we need. God made this earth for us. Jump down to verse 10. Excuse me. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. Whatever cleverly devised tricks the tricky one has up his sleeve, it ain't nothing to our God. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. They can come up with AI, EI, whatever they're doing right now, bombs, different cell phones, no matter. Because God makes the devices of the people of none effect. And the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. And here's the one that we all love. Verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own. That makes my heart sing. Okay, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes in chapter 1. And here's good old Solomon. Bless his heart. When he was very young, he was crowned king, and he answered with the right words when God came to him and said, hey, Solomon, what would you have? What do you want? You can have whatever you want. And Solomon said, oh my goodness, God, and I'm not quoting him, but I'm giving you the gist. Give me wisdom to discern what's right and wrong so I can govern your people well. Woo! That tickled God's heart. And he gave him not only that, but riches and fame and honor and, oh my gosh, whatever his little heart desired. And it did get him into a little bit of trouble. But we won't go into that. So the Ecclesiastes is God inspired by Solomon. Verse 4 of chapter 1. One generation passeth away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Well, as far as he could see at that time. Anyway, we know there's a new heaven and a new earth coming, and that'll be a good day. But in the meantime, we're called to enjoy what God has given us. As he said in Manifestations, be blessed. So, look down at verse 9, please, of chapter 1. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. History repeats itself. Verse 10, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? Oh, boy. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. It's like, you know what? Here we are. There's all kinds of new gadgets and new things out there in the world, but we just believe God, correct? Okay, we're going to go way back for a minute. Turn to Genesis chapter 15. And this guy, Abram, and his wife, Sarai, oh my goodness, he was, is, and was called God's friend. He had such a heart for God that he left all. And, I mean, you've got to read the record. But in chapter 15, right before that, there was this big old war with all these kings. And, of course, God conquered it with the believing of Abram and his people. And he got a whole bunch of riches and stuff. Anyway, so in chapter 15, I'm going to go ahead and start in verse 1. I don't want to skip it. After these things, the word of the Lord, after the war and all the money he got, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless?" At this time, they didn't have any kids. He was about 90, and he really needed to have a son because his wife Sarai was really wanted that. And God loves each of us, and he wanted it. Anyway, in verse 2 again, "And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." You know, he was going to have to leave all his stuff to this steward of his home. Verse 3, "And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." Oh, boo-hoo, you know, it sounds like me sometimes. Verse 4, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, Abram, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." Wow. "And he," God, "brought Abram forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if you could number them. So shall thy seed be." That must have blown his mind, because the next verse says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Abram simply believed God. There was nothing he could do to become righteous, except believe God. And this was not his father at the time. So that always blows my mind, how good the father is to all of us. So there's so many of us, God's kids and God's servants, that he did call his children back in the Old Testament. And they were like the stars in the sky, shining bright. And since the day of Pentecost, which was over 2,000 years ago, Miss Catalina, there's billions of us. You look at the stars in San Diego, and the lights dim them, but check it out. It's all over. So anyway, there's so many of us here on the earth. But what I wanted to get down to, and if my sharing gets a little too long, well, you guys have a choice. You can turn it off or whatever, but here we go. Okay, so we're going to look at the history of the United States of America, because this is God's country. We all know that. Here we are, right? God's kids. So I have this little book I'm holding in my hand, and it's the Declaration of Independence. And, of course, I have no time at this present moment to read it all to you, but I did want to share a little bit. The Declaration of Independence was worked on by 56 people, and they got it all together between June 11th, 1776, and then it was finally published July 5th of 1776. The fun thing is that these 56 guys that got together, and I know they had lovely wives supporting them, But these 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence, and there's little blurbs on each of them in this book. But the cool thing is that I believe they, most if not all, were Christians. But I also know from my little study of history that they were different denominations. They were different political views. They were, did not particularly get along on every subject. I need George Washington. So there you have it. George Washington. Oh, this is a good little book. He was America's first president, and he is known as the father of our nation. This book is full of great little quotes from George Washington, but I'm only going to look at two. The first one, and I quote George Washington, says, "The liberty enjoyed by the people of these states of worshiping Almighty God agreeably to their consciences is not only amongst the choicest of their blessings, but also their rights." George was never pushy. He stood firm on the truth that he knew, and he did not tell anybody what they should or shouldn't do. And isn't that kind of the way God is? He gives us this, his wonderful word, and we choose. The last one I'm going to look at for George is, and I quote George Washington, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We like George. Okay, so I have this other little book in my hand, and it's all about the founding fathers. Sally, you can borrow them. Anyone can borrow them. They're amazing little books. There's a bunch of them in here. I don't even know these guys. I mean, the names are not even recognizable. But I want to look at one quote from Benjamin Franklin. And if you haven't heard about Benjamin Franklin, which I can't imagine anybody in America not knowing, hearing of him. You know, if you get a hold of a $100 bill, there's his face, right? Praise God. And it says, "In God we trust," underneath, correct? Benjamin Franklin, folks, and I quote, "I've lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men." Amen?
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 Amen. Okay. One more, guys. Okay. Thomas Jefferson. Oh, my gosh. Now, this guy actually, excuse me, warrants a little bit of history. Are you ready? Okay. Thomas Jefferson was born in Virginia in 1743. Skip, skip, skip. Okay, at 33 years, Jefferson drafted the Declaration of Independence. So he was one of these 56 guys, you know, and he was actually the one that penned it. And if you've ever looked at the Declaration of Independence, it's beautiful, very beautifully handwritten. So, after the Revolutionary War, Jefferson was appointed Secretary of State in President Washington's cabinet. He resigned in 1793 over a disagreement with Alexander Hamilton, one of the other founding fathers. As political disagreements continued to polarize the young government, Jefferson found himself leading those who sympathized with the revolutionary cause in France. Huh, didn't we get the Statue of Liberty from France? That's pretty cool, huh? Listen to this, though, guys. In 1800, Jefferson was elected president in a tie vote that was decided, ironically, by Alexander Hamilton, the guy that he got in a fight with. Now, wait a minute. Does that sound like kind of maybe what's happening these days? So, I'm going to do two quotes from him. You're going to get a kick out of this one, if anybody listening. I know I did when I read it. Thomas Jefferson, and I quote, "Advertisements contain the only truths that can be relied on in a newspaper." Amen, right? I mean, today we've got the news and we've got all this stuff yelling at us. What do we believe, you guys? The truth of God's word? That God governs in the affairs of men? One more for sure. Okay. Thomas Jefferson, and I quote, this was a few hundred years ago, I don't know exactly when. You look it up, you guys. It is in our lives, not our words, that our religion must be read. We are living epistles. We are examples of Christ. We have Christ in us. So, family, there is really nothing new under the sun, correct? God stays the same. He is constant. His word will stand forever. And there's so many of God's kids all over the world, all over the earth. We are so blessed to live in this wonderful United States of America. You know, if you think about it, it's like, but anywhere in Ukraine and China and Japan and la la la, all around the world, wherever there's a child of God, it's a light. They're holding back the evil. They get born again. It's like, wow, it's our choice to decide whether we want to pursue it. And man, prayer is a big deal. Jesus Christ came and sacrificed his earthly life for his Father and ours. So we can live the life more than abundant. We are forgiven. By the blood of Jesus, we are forgiven. And we need to forgive ourselves. We need to forgive each other. We need to realize that, yeah, we have perfect, we are perfect Christians, Christians. But we all make mistakes. We all do. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. Look at anybody in history. And so we need to forgive and we need to live like Christ and love like Christ and walk like Christ and be those bright lights that God has truly made us to be. It's Christ in us. We are Christ-ins, Christians. All right, I'm closing with a verse, two verses from 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. You do not have to turn there unless you want to. I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation. Are you ready, Catalina, to hear this? Okay. Okay. 1 John 5, 4 and 5, the Passion Translation. Every child of God overcomes the world. Every child of God overcomes the world, I repeat. For our faith, our believing, is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. Woohoo! So, who are the world conquerors defeating its power?
We are.
Yeah! Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen! Ooh. We are God's kids. Amen. Go shine bright, family.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's it.
Why don't you close with prayer?
Okay. Well, praise you, Heavenly Father, God, Daddy. Oh, my goodness. We are so thankful to be your children, and we are so thankful for every little thing that you've done for us. You made this whole earth for us, God, and we know that we are the bright lights, and we are called to shine. So whoever we are, wherever we are, any one of God's kids has a special purpose and is a special member in the body of Christ. So thank you, Father, that our lights will shine brightly and that we can all just have fun with you, Daddy, holding forth the words of life in great love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.